How we work now, summary. Learning from the impact of COVID-19 to build an industry that works for parents and carers. Raising Films, www.raisingfilms.com. On Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, you can find us at Raising Films, capital R, capital F. Hashtag How We Work Now, capital H, capital W, capital W, capital N. The cover contains 6 visualizations, which are the icons of the figures of the cohorts reported on in the narrative. The icons are brightly colored illustrations by Rachel Lipset. Each one is in a circle. Going from the upper right-hand corner down the page, there's the icon of a worker in a wheelchair using a laptop on their lap. There's the icon of carer who has both a baby in one arm and an older person, possibly a parent, standing with them in the image. There's an icon of someone surrounded by thought bubbles containing images of money, a calendar, a house, and bills. They're holding a hand up to their face and a hand up to their heart, appearing concerned. There's an icon of a person sitting in the window of a home surrounded by blue sky, possibly outside of an urban area in the country. There's an icon of a person sitting cross-legged with a laptop on their lap and a small child sitting playing with a toy beside them. And there's an icon of a person who has a cell phone clamped under one ear and a baby reaching for their shoulder in the other arm.
Researchers note, use your mind. How We Work Now surveyed nearly 500 parents and carers working across the screen industries in the UK. We launched on the 17th of May 2021, the day that cinemas reopened in England. With thanks to all our partner organizations and community members who shared the survey on social media and via newsletters and emails, before we closed the survey on the 5th of July. The survey was designed and analyzed by the Raising Films Research Collective, drawing on what we learned from our scoping study Back from the Brink, published in April 2021. Based on in-depth interviews with our community members during October and November 2020. Even as our respondents were speaking from that more hopeful moment between lockdowns, Back from the Brink highlighted the financial, practical, and psychological impacts on primary carers, with the already uneven availability of employment and in-work support exacerbated by the pandemic. Thus, we designed the survey to learn more about the impact of COVID in relation to pre-COVID situations. We framed our questions with solutions in mind, not only to the problems of the pandemic itself, but to the problematic pre-existing employment practices it has exposed and worsened, including long hours and low pay. Hence, our report takes its section titles from Dolly Parton's Workers' Rights Anthem 9-5. All of the questions in the survey were voluntary, which means we didn't insist that anyone shared information that made them feel uncomfortable. Instead, we listened to what people felt most strongly about. We were moved and enraged by the stories that respondents shared, describing the complex, cascading negative impacts of homeschooling, work cancellations, increased caregiving to support elderly and disabled relatives, and the return to production, as well as more hopeful stories of new forms of connection and ways of working. Using both our quantitative and qualitative data, we were able to identify a number of specific situations, although these are often interlocking. The survey showed that the situations for freelancers, low-income workers, disabled workers, carers, single parents, and those working outside London, the South East, Edinburgh, and Glasgow are especially challenging. These film and TV workers are in particular need of support and attention if the screen industries are to become in any way inclusive. Reading the survey responses and writing the report, we were constantly and importantly reminded that caregiving is work, work that is undervalued. We were struck by the care that our respondents put into their answers, into sharing solutions and ambitions, as well as struggles and barriers. We wanted to share as many of their experiences and insights as possible across the summary, our full report, and our cohort narratives, which put our community's voices front and center. These voices are crucial in themselves, but they also constitute a call to action for the industry. Please join us in listening to and thanking all of our survey respondents. This is their story. The Raising Films Research Collective. Dr. Jenny Chameret, Louise Laxton, Dr. Saul Mayer, and Dr. Anya Ostrowska.
Section 1 of the survey, Researcher's Note, Use Your Mind, contains two data visualizations. The first contains the text, 26% of respondents did not know about creative and cultural industries, COVID-specific financial aid and grants. The text appears on an orange page with a yellow folder down corner, with a yellow page with an orange folder down corner behind it, suggestive of a grant application form. The second visualization is of a tweet that was sent about the Raising Films survey. It has a Twitter icon at the top, and within a blue box, there is an icon of the person who sent the tweet, a photograph of Deborah Joan Hayward, whose Twitter name is at Blytheface, BLYTHEFACE. And on Twitter, Deborah Joan Hayward wrote, "I filled this survey in because it's hard for me to write and care for my mum, not entitled to brackets, pitiful, close brackets, carer's allowance, because you have to put in 36 hours per week. I do it unpaid because I love her and want to, but help would be nice." At the bottom of the tweet is the social card for the Raising Films How We Work Now survey, stating that the survey was open from the 17th of May 2021. The tweet has 49 likes and 15 reshares.
Founder's letter. There's a better life. You spoke and we listened. You've told us how hard it's been and how you're ready to give up. How caring for others makes the challenges of freelance life untenable. When we founded Raising Films in 2015, we identified that the industry wanted workers, but it didn't want our caring responsibilities. You're telling us, and we're seeing, that that's one of many often interlocking parts of who we are and how we work that the industry doesn't want, and still struggles to accept. Race, class, gender and disability are all made into barriers where they should be welcomed. But we see you too. We see you finding ways to create, to nurture and celebrate the work being made, to contribute to our screen industries and cultures in a way that makes them richer, deeper, and more urgent. We see you fighting to tell your stories whilst fighting to care for others. And we see that the industry is not listening. It is failing you whilst at the same time demanding your voices, your vision, your talent and dedication. We are here to tell your stories and to forge a coalition of care alongside those organisations who are committed to changing our screen industries. As the cry for better working practices becomes louder, we understand that the fight must be taken beyond our industry, into legislation that will force employers to enact these better practices. We are here with you. We are not done. This is how we work now. In solidarity, Nikki Bentham, Hope Dixon-Leach, Lena Langebeck, Jessica Levick, and So Mayer.
The second section of the survey, Founder's Letter, There's a Better Life, contains one data visualization. This is of a tweet sent by Raising Films, at Raising Films with a capital R and capital F, on May the 26th. There is an icon of the Twitter bird at the top of the tweet, and the Raising Films icon appears in the tweet, which is three lowercase letter I, one yellow, one much taller in a dark red, and one very short in a bright orange. The tweet reads, hashtag how we work now builds on hashtag back from the brink's findings. We want to hear from you about who we are now, how we care now, how we work now, who supports us now, how we support each other now, what we need now, what we do next. I'll share some of the questions next. At the bottom of the tweet is the Raising Film social card for the How We Work Now survey, which asked the question, how has COVID-19 impacted the way we work as parents and carers in the UK screen industries? The tweet has 15 likes and 19 reshares.
Day 63. North London. I'm in a hotel room waiting to shoot a street scene. I've been up since 6 o'clock. I got picked up at 7:20 a.m. today, which is a later start as it can be a 6 a.m. pickup. My kids, 7 and 11, got up at 7 a.m. I know I've got to get showered and out the house, but they want toast, so I make toast. My daughter has just started secondary school. She has a complicated timetable, which she's still getting her head round, as are we. We go through her checklist. My son has PE today and can't find his shorts. The only shorts, he says, are comfortable. I try to help find them and inevitably I get involved in their morning routine. And before I know it, I'm not ready and I'm 10 minutes late for my pickup. And I just have to pass the reins over to my husband and get out of the house. I always feel guilty, but have to let it go. This is the job. I'm in makeup at 8:30 a.m. My makeup artist is also a mother. We often share our stories of family life. I get a call from my husband to say my son still can't find his PE shorts. So he's having a major meltdown about it, and that spills into him telling him that he's not enjoying school and finds year three hard. After the call, I'm thinking I'll arrange to see the teacher about this because I don't want it to become a problem. After such a turbulent year of homeschooling, I want him to feel happy at school and happy to learn again in a classroom. At the same time, I'm looking at the lines I've learned from yesterday's sides, scenes you get given for what is to be shot on the day. And I notice they're different from ones given out today. So I'm thinking, okay, I've got to learn this new scene, which isn't a new scene, but it's different to the one I've already learned. And at the same time, at the back of my mind, I keep thinking, I have to arrange to see my son's teacher. By the time I get to set, I find out I'm actually not on for a couple of hours. It's a little frustrating because I could have solved the situation with my kids, with his teacher, got his PE kit, got them to school and still arrived on time, possibly, because it's now nearly 11 a.m. But part of me thinks this is the nature of filming, yes, and with my waiting time, I get to learn my lines. But how do we become less afraid of talking about the pull we as parents and carers have? Day 64. I read a quote someone put on Instagram that you have to work like you're not a parent and parent like you don't work, and that really stayed with me. And sometimes we just need to have these conversations to make it easier or to feel heard. I love working. And I want to carry on working. I've never stopped. Even when breastfeeding my babies, I was writing treatments. Days like yesterday that are tough, though. And this morning, I asked for a later call. And production listened, as I felt I could ask. Even if I miss my breakfast on set, I get to have breakfast with my kids. Though that was put into the schedule. And it helps. These little things really help. And if you can tuck your kids in at night and get them ready for school and just catch up with them and find out how their day was, as long as it doesn't interfere with the working day and you can do your job, I think it makes for a better working environment for parents and carers on set. And I totally get that sometimes it's just not possible. I was filming in Rome earlier this year and I was back and forth over 3 months. The first time away was difficult, but we got through it. It helps that my husband is as understanding and as supportive as he is, but it's not easy. You put what you can in place and make it work. But the problem is there isn't enough support and allowances for parents and carers. And we have also had to deal with COVID. My worry about COVID is that before the pandemic, I think we were starting to have more open discussions about childcare and how to make the workplace better for parents. And things were being implemented. My worry is this important work that could be sidelined because COVID has become the more urgent and immediate problem. And it is. It has been difficult for productions to take it on board and put in huge changes. But we have adapted. The industry has adapted very quickly and positively in a way that allows production to carry on. So it does make me think, if we are able to do that in 3 or 4 months, where we can get productions up and running with COVID teams in place, testing and extra staff employed for that purpose, why can't we make those changes with childcare in the workplace?
The third section of How We Work Now, titled From Our Ambassador, Manjinder Virk, It's Enough to Drive You Crazy If You Let It, contains one visual image. This is a black and white photograph with the caption, On set for the film With Love from Calais, 2017. Anne-Marie Leon Virko on camera, Manjinder Virk directing her daughter, Lila. Anne-Marie Leon Virko and her camera are in the background of the shot, and Manjinder is in the middle ground, leaning over her daughter, who is building what looks like Lego on a play table. There is a bookcase behind them.
Introduction. Barely getting by. If you're reading this, then, by hook or by crook, you survived. And, especially if you're a primary carer, it has been against the odds. COVID has had an enormous, substantially negative impact on all caregivers, especially on their ability to work safely, healthily, and securely. We know this because How We Work Now is part of a community of reporting and campaigning for change that has been ongoing for decades. Our way of working is indebted to all the grassroots organisations and researchers, past and present, working for equity, transparency and inclusion. Over the last 18 months, the extreme and asymmetrical negative impacts of COVID have also proven to be a catalyst for more and higher profile reporting, leading, we hope, to an increase in concrete action to redress the inequalities being compounded. That includes the unequal and complex negative impacts on parents and carers. This issue is not a secret. Large national organisations such as the Office for National Statistics and the Institute of Fiscal Studies have undertaken large-scale studies that show homeschooling and the closure of paid childcare had a negative impact on parents' ability to work and had specific gendered impacts as women continue to do more of the caring work at home. These reports have been given depth and detail by specific studies from the Global Institute for Women's Leadership and Pregnant Then Screwed, looking at UK workers across all industries and finding that the gender disparity seen in the impact of lockdown on employment is closely related to caregiving responsibilities. Closer to home, Creative Access, film and television charity, Parents and Carers in Performing Arts, PIPA, Share My Telejob, and We Shall Not Be Removed, have all reported on the unequal impacts of COVID and lockdown in the creative and cultural industries, raising concerns that moves towards equality, diversity and inclusion made in the last half decade are being rolled back. Recent reports for the All-Party Parliamentary Group for Creative Diversity, the Creative Industries Federation PEC, Film and Television Charity, and Producers Roundtable show that inequality in the creative and cultural industries is intersectional, deep-rooted and persistent, and that robust, far-reaching and nuanced solutions are needed. You can find their research reports, along with all the other research we cite and draw on for our full report, in our Dropbox folder, which is also linked on our website, https://bit.ly/3zq Mqd S". So much crucial work about How We Work Now has been done over the last 18 months, in particular, often under the most strenuous conditions. We need to ensure that both the findings and the recommendations for action are not lost. Unions, campaigners and politicians have been sharing headline-grabbing initiatives such as flexible working from day one. You can find their research reports,
along with all the other research we cite and draw on for our full report, in our Dropbox folder, which is also linked on our website. So much crucial work about how we work now has been done over the last 18 months in particular, often under the most strenuous conditions. We need to ensure that both the findings and the recommendations for action are not lost. Unions, campaigners, and politicians have been sharing headline-grabbing initiatives such as flexible working from day one, the right to disconnect, more support for the paid childcare sector, improvements to universal credit and childcare vouchers, and an end to zero-hours contracts. All of these are necessary, but none of them are blanket solutions that work for all workers. And none of them go far enough to address the full inequalities resulting from long hours, irregular contracts, and low pay, as well as the more insidious operations of exclusion. To make effective change, we need to attend to the specific and detailed analysis being reported, as well as the bold headlines. Our report, How We Work Now, specifically highlights the significantly worse experiences of parents and carers who have experienced multiple exclusions, whether through their own lower household income, single-parent households, status as a carer, experience of disability, or regional or rural location. Homeschooling, the closure of nurseries and daycares, and the loss of in-home professional care during lockdowns had a negative impact on most people with caregiving responsibilities, showing up the precarious patchwork of everyday care that our community put together from family, friends, schools, state childcare, and paid carers. We describe this negative impact as a cascading crisis, as homeschooling requirements could have a knock-on effect on availability for working from home, which could then lead to delays or the loss of further projects, leading to financial loss, further compounding childcare issues once the lockdown ended. All of this adds up to a negative impact on mental and physical health for many, with the heaviest burden continuing to fall on women. What we learned is that exponential exclusions mean that the crisis continues to cascade, spiralling out of control. Connected factors, such as earning a higher income and/or having savings or assets, being salaried rather than freelance or self-employed, and living in London and the South East, or Edinburgh and Glasgow, all offered significant buffers against the cascading effects. As did being partnered, being non-disabled, and not having additional caring responsibilities. In other words, being able to work in the screen industries as a parent or carer without risking severe effects such as homelessness and mental ill health requires a significant amount of structural advantage. Neither working in the screen sector nor being a parent or carer should be treated as a privilege. If they are, then these choices only become available, individually, but especially in combination, to those with existing privilege. These structurally embedded advantages and disadvantages are made palpable by the low percentage of Black, Asian, and minority ethnic respondents to our survey, which mirrors the percentage reported in PIPA's 2020 survey. This speaks to the socio-economic double bind that excludes Black, Asian and minority ethnic parents from the film industry, and may also exclude some Black, Asian and minority ethnic film industry workers from considering parenthood while in the industry, not least because they do not see themselves represented and included within the community of parents and carers, as screen media continue to focus on white, affluent, able-bodied mothers when addressing parenting at all. We believe that it is in the industry's collective power and also collective interest to create structural and systemic change. Changing how we work now as an industry means changing the stories we tell and how we work to tell them. In order to make meaningful, impactful change that helps everyone, it is vitally important that we address the needs of those who are most vulnerable. As Richard Wilkinson and Kate Pickett identify in The Spirit Level, more equal societies bring with them the associated benefits of better physical and psychological health, including social cohesion and trust for all. By addressing those most excluded, we bring everybody with us, creating the greatest positive impacts for all. Our findings and analysis are rooted in the conviction that the solutions need to proceed from recognition of the needs of the most vulnerable workers, who are also often those underreported within the industry. Lower income workers, freelancers, single parents, disabled parents and carers, those based outside London and the South East. This is an act of radical inclusion. By working from the most vulnerable upwards, we leave no person behind, and we can begin to repair the whole precarious ecology of the screen sector. We heard from our community that many valued the opportunities for networking, training, and even ways of working that were made accessible remotely during lockdown, and that this addressed some pre-existing inequalities around access relating to location, economics, and disability. We know that there are solutions that work to create equal opportunities, to expand the conversation, and to provide redress. We also know that these cannot be cosmetic or top-down, and that we can't continue to place the responsibility on individuals to ask for what they need. Employers and organisations have a responsibility to do the work of inclusion for all. As Dawn Foster points out succinctly in Lean Out, asking women to lean in is far easier than demanding that we fundamentally change the way businesses operate, who they operate for, and how we reward and approach work. We have to change how we reward and approach work. And that means listening to workers when they speak, and especially to the most vulnerable to inequality and exclusion. We have been speaking up for many years, and that has intensified over the last 18 months as the impacts, too, have intensified. It's time for the industry to acknowledge, firstly, that it has a problem when it comes to hiring, employment, pay, and retention, and that that problem creates exponential exclusions for workers with protected characteristics. And secondly, that it's those very workers who, being most affected by exclusion, are, as they long have been, providing the strongest and most fundamental leadership on the solutions. We've spoken. Will you listen?
The fourth section of How We Work Now, Introduction, Barely Getting By, contains five data visualizations. The first visualization contains the statement, approximately 50% of carers and disabled workers earn under £20,000 per annum. The text appears on a blue background, and the blue box includes three figures representing a sandwich carer, that is someone who is caring for both a child and an elderly person, possibly a parent, represented as someone using a walking stick with white hair, and a disabled worker who is working on a laptop while using a wheelchair. The second data visualization is a statistic with a pie chart. The pie chart is orange for the segment that represents the figure of 77.5% and black to represent the remainder. And the statistic reads in white letters on a black background, 77.5% of respondents reported a negative impact from caregiving during the COVID era, an increase of 17.5% from pre-COVID reporting. The third statistic is a statement that 63% of respondents think working in the screen industries as caregivers is, quote, too stressful, end quotes. The text appears on a blue background, while the figure appears in white on an orange illustration of a film clapperboard. The fourth data visualization contains the statement, uptake of free school meals by single parents doubled between 2019 to 2020 and 2020 to 2021. The statement appears in white text on a dark yellow background, and beneath it there is an image of a lunch tray containing toast, fries, cookies, rice, and chicken fingers. The fifth statistic contains the statement, 73% of respondents want training provision for anyone working in hiring and employment in the screen industries. The text appears in white against a dark yellow background, while the statistic, 73%, appears on a dark blue whiteboard or blackboard. There is the outline of a figure standing in front of that statistic, and the outline of three smaller figures sitting in seats as if they were learning from a facilitator in a classroom or conference room.
Our findings. You're in the same boat as a lot of your friends. How We Work Now surveyed nearly 500 parents and carers across the screen industries about their experience of working during the pandemic. 60% of our respondents reported that caregiving responsibilities have the most significant effect on their ability to work in the sector. This remains a gendered issue, with 63% of female respondents reporting an overall negative impact compared to 42% of men. It rose overall to 77.5% during the COVID era, when 60% gained additional caring responsibilities, and 55% said this had a significantly negative effect. The reasons are complex and interlocking, but the overall picture is clear when it comes to the negative impact, not least on mental health. 63% of respondents said that the biggest caregiving-related barrier to work in the industry is that it feels too stressful. The need for flexible work, as defined by the workers' needs, rather than the industry's, is one of two overall top-level solutions, along with the need for affordable, sustainable, and widely accessible childcare that again meets workers' needs, especially taking into account the industry's non-standard working practices, such as long hours. Looking more deeply into the data, our report shows that the biggest indicator for negative financial and mental health impacts of caregiving is low income, and that caregiving also has a negative impact on income, creating a vicious cycle and, all too often, a cascading crisis. This means that the most vulnerable workers are most likely to be excluded from the industry. Approximately 40% of respondents to the survey earn under £20,000 per annum across all roles, including headline, creative and talent. This stood at 34% for 2019-20 and rose to 43% in 2020-21. Showing the clear impacts of COVID while making it clear that low incomes pre-existed the pandemic. Lower income workers often face a multiple bias. They are more likely to be freelance and less likely to be able to access support from employers, such as flexible or remote working, parental leave, technical equipment, continuing personal development, and or PPE. They are more likely to live outside London and the South East, where the majority of the provision of employer support occurred. They were also more likely to face additional challenges, such as being sandwich carers who are parents to children under 18 and also have additional caring responsibilities, often for partners or parents, being single parents and or being disabled. The number of single parents eligible for free school meals doubled between 2019-20 and 2020-21, while approximately 50% of the carers and 50% of the disabled workers who responded to our survey were in the under £20,000 income bracket. Almost a quarter of disabled parents and carers, double the rate of non-disabled respondents, needed provisions from employers and contractors, but were unable to access them. In-work poverty, including workers accessing universal credit and free school meals, is an underreported fact of the film industry. Uptake of free school meals by single parents responding to our survey doubled this year. But low incomes and poor working conditions were exacerbated and brought to light by the pandemic, not caused by them. While many creative and cultural industries organisations offered emergency grants or financial aid, 26% of survey respondents did not know about any of them, despite reporting need. Better communication, located in a more inclusive sense of community, is required for screen industry's inclusion interventions to work across the board. Without a cultural change towards meaningful inclusion, our survey portends potentially high rates of attrition among parents and carers, which means a loss of skilled and passionate workers, creating a major gap in the talent pipeline and a moment of skill shortage.
Actions and outcomes. Pour yourself a cup of ambition. How we work now is not working. Our findings show, above all, that equality and inclusion need to begin by transforming hiring and employment to meet the urgent needs of the most precarious workers. While there are good practices across the screen industries, they are piecemeal, poorly communicated, dependent on location, and related to employment status. Lower income workers are exponentially more likely to face poor working conditions, creating a cascading crisis made more stressful by lack of access to support and information, and no recourse to accountability. A cultural change is needed. One that requires practical actions from employers and hirers to create positive outcomes for workers and contractors. And it requires oversight at the highest level to ensure fairness, transparency, and equal rights for all. To make this happen, 73% of respondents to our survey want training to pivot from its focus on workers to focus on those doing the hiring, contracting, and HR, to ensure they are meeting the minimum requirements of implementing the Equality Act, paying a living wage, and recognising freelancers' rights. Raising Films commits to developing, consulting on, and working with an accountable body that advises on and monitors equality, inclusion, and diversity in hiring, contracting, training, and employment practices across the sector to ensure an end to exclusion and inequality. We advocate for the practices available as a separate document titled How to Hire, Employ and Retain Parent and Carer Employees and Workers as an initial guideline expanding on and supporting our calls to action. To make screen work work, we call on the UK screen industries to undertake the following 6 practical actions to make structural and systemic change. Recognise and value unpaid parents and carers and paid care workers as workers already present across the screen industries. Recognise that caring is an inequality that exacerbates in-work poverty and systemic exclusion, especially and exponentially where it intersects with additional socioeconomic inequalities. Take structural and practical steps to address this through providing fair, equal and transparent hiring, employment, contracting and retention practices. Design, provide and accredit comprehensive training in employment and equality law and best practices for all screen industries workers who hire and contract, with public funding contingent on undergoing and implementing such training. Address the specific inequalities between employees and freelancers, given that screen workers are twice as likely to be freelance as workers across UK industry as a whole, and parents and carers in the screen industry are twice as likely to be freelancers as non-parents. Via inclusive hiring, expand the industry's vision and representation towards employing and supporting more voices and narratives that represent the full breadth and complexity of lived experience, including parenting and caring beyond white, abled, heterosexual, middle-class mothers. In order to implement and sustain these changes across the industry evenly, transparently, effectively, and in a timely fashion, we see it as essential that the screen industries provide core and sustainable funding for grassroots worker organising across the sector as best practices and solutions are emerging from community reporting and engagement. Mandate and fund an accountability body with sanction power to adjudicate fair and inclusive hiring, contracting, employment and retention across the screen industries, recognising all protected characteristics and axes of exclusion.
Carer. My father is near 80. He's also an amputee with a persistent cough. If he had caught COVID, he would be dead. This meant that I was unable to work, and as I was a freelancer, I was ineligible for any sort of furlough. Luckily, I was saving to buy a house in 2020. However, now I'm burning through the deposit with no job prospects and a worsening mental and physical condition, while also caring for a father who is getting worse but will likely need years of care. Male respondent, 25 to 34 years old, urban centre in County Down. Worker outside London. Living outside of London was suddenly no longer the issue it was before. Able to make more of job, networking and training opportunities that would usually be quite literally physically out of reach or require expensive travel to achieve. Female respondent, 35 to 44 years old, urban centre, southwest England. Carer. Not only have I been caring for an elderly relative of mine for 4 months full-time and 6 months ongoing part-time, I've been living with two vulnerable people who would be seriously affected if they caught COVID, meaning I haven't been able to get back to work until recently since they have been vaccinated. This obviously means I now have a huge gap in my CV and it has been really slow to get jobs. Female respondent, 16 to 24, east of England. Single parent. I am a single parent of a school-aged child, and during lockdown I was homeschooling alone with no options for paid support, which effectively meant I was unable to work as I had lost all of my previous support network. My child eventually was taken into school on the key worker provision in January 2021, but for personal reasons relating to her other parent, this was a very stressful process over 2020 to 2021, and this has had a very negative impact on my mental health. Female respondent, 35 to 44 years old, London. Disabled worker. My dream work situation would be support for disability without constant comments about paperwork and a bullying environment on projects, as in pressure to stay and do more hours to get through huge workloads. This pressure ultimately lies with productions insisting on shorter prep time to save money. Female respondent, 55 to 64 years old, London. Remote working worker outside London. COVID and other health problems meant I couldn't work much, but I like the way COVID has normalised working from home and that, for a while at least, London wasn't the centre of the universe. Female respondent, 45 to 54 years old, urban centre, east of England. Freelance. As a freelance senior producer, I had a 6-month contract. I was a month into it and I was let go in March 2020 along with 10 other freelancers. My contract was not worth the paper it was written on. No extra pay, let go that day. It was awful. Also, my parents suffered a stroke and nearly died. The following month, the same thing happened to my other parent. In October, my first job offer since I was let go, I had to turn it down to care for my elderly parent. I've not earned any money at all in the past year. I'm on furlough as a company director and get barely enough to pay the mortgage. We are relying on parents supporting us. It's been horrendous. I've always worked hard, but in this industry, there is just no job security at all, and the experience of losing my job, despite my contract, has just highlighted how awful it is. I want to leave TV. I've just had enough. Female respondent, 45 to 54 years old, South Wales East.
Statement of support from the BFI. It is imperative we listen to the experiences of our workforce, so we are pleased to support this timely research by Raising Films, which recognises the incredibly important role of carers in our society and the difficulties they face in balancing those duties with work. With our industry relying on a largely freelance workforce, the pandemic had a significant and negative impact, and these findings give us unique insight into how those with caring responsibilities have struggled to rejoin the workforce as the industry has reopened. British Film Institute, Melanie Hoyes, Industry Inclusion Executive, Inclusion Film Fund, BFI,
British Film Institute, Melanie Hoyes, Industry Inclusion Executive, Inclusion Film Fund.
Dr. John Swords, Senior Research Fellow at the Department of Theatre, Film, Television and Interactive Media, University of York, had this to say. While the UK's screen sector is world-class in many respects, the pandemic has revealed that the headlines hide stark realities which need to be addressed. This report illustrates the extent of these issues, but also highlights they are long-standing and deeply rooted in the way the industry operates. Urgent change is needed, or the sector will continue to exclude people, pay poorly, and have a lasting impact on workers' health. It's great for the Screen Industries Growth Network to be working with organisations like Raising Films, who have such great insights about the industry. Ellie Piers, the General Secretary from the Writers Guild of Great Britain, said, "We agree with this new report in that how we work now is not working and that the financial and mental health impact on those with caregiving responsibilities in the screen industries needs to be urgently addressed. A cultural change is indeed needed to address the disproportionate effects felt by underrepresented groups highlighted in the research, including women, disabled employees, low-income and freelance workers. Flexible working, accessible childcare, and training for hirers and employers are important first steps on the way out of this crisis."
Supporting statements. Give you credit. Give you credit. Give you credit.
Thanks and acknowledgements. How We Work Now is a survey-based report from Raising Films supported by our five funding partners: Creative Scotland, the BFI using funds from the National Lottery, Screen Industries Growth Network, SIGN, Writers Guild of Great Britain, WGGB, and Bechtu. Suggested citation: Raising Films, How We Work Now, Learning from the Impact of COVID-19 to Build an Industry That Works for Parents and Carers, October 2021. The survey and report were compiled by the How We Work Now Research Collective, which includes Dr. Jenny Chemaret, Louise Loxton, Dr. So Meyer, and Dr. Anya Ostrovska, with input from the Raising Films team, founders Nikki Bentham, Hope Dixon-Leach, Lena Langebeck and Jessica Levick, project manager Katie Swarbrick and comms team Ollie Gotts and Sally Hodgson. The How We Work Now report and resources were designed by Rachel Lipsitz. Raising Films would like to thank Anna Moraes and Alison Smith at Creative Scotland, Melanie Hoyes, Miranda Gower-Quinn and Rico Johnson-Sinclair at the BFI, John Swords and Nicola Thomas at SIGN, Leslie Gannon, Sarah Woodley and Kate Glasspool at WGGB, and Philippa Charles and Grace Skelton at Bechtu. For pre-publication discussions, the Research Collective would like to thank Duncan Carson, Dr. Tamsin Dent, Dr. Helen Kennedy, Dr. Jack Neusinger, Dr. Clive James Nwonka and Heather Perry, and members of Carers UK, Fair Museums Jobs, Film Access Scotland, Parents and Carers in Performing Arts, the Producers Roundtable, and the Uncultured.